Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Tonight, my co-host and producer, Nicole, won't be joining me. She unfortunately has to attend a wake, and she just let me know a little while ago. So I do have a special guest today to help me with my show, and that's my husband, TJ Clemente. He's a journalist, he's a writer, and he has a fabulous novel called Tiptoeing Past the Hottie Graveyard. That has a lot to do with what we talk about on this show, commitment issues, life after divorce, and relationships. So, TJ, thank you for helping me out tonight. I could really use your help. And I'm going to just make sure that he's ready to join us. Hi, TJ. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, hi, dear. How are you tonight?
Good. And I was just telling our listeners about your novel and a little curious as to what may have inspired you to write a novel about life after divorce.
Well, because it was such a amazing time to go from one realm where you're in a family life to being thrown out out on your own, and everything's completely different and so forth. But and then when it was all over, I thought it would be a really good book because it took place in New York City and somewhere. But it's not based on my – it is fiction. It's just that the experiences of the time, I just whittled it around that it would be a good novel sometime.
Right. And, of course, we have a main character named Boone who's sort of
– James Delano.
A fish out of water
right.
For a while. And then he sort of navigates his way around the dating world. And I found the characters to be very intriguing. We have all kinds of commitment phobics. And even what I liked about your main character, Boone, was even though he was divorced, he wasn't jaded about marriage. I mean, he would tell his friends, have children, and get married. So I guess your divorce didn't jade you too much.
Well, I've always been a firm believer in the power of love, the positive energy of being in love. And I think that that's one of the most amazing times in anyone's life is when they're really feeling the love one way or another. Everything smells better, tastes better, looks better, feels better, is better. How's that?
Exactly. And, of course, at the end, we have sort of a happy ending because your main character, Boone, meets a woman, and they end up, you know, having a relationship and a committed one. And I thought you really traveled this area from divorce to having a couple of different relationships in there than the character, and then finally finding love again. So anybody who's sort of divorced or going through that process. Whistling Past the Hottie Graveyard is a very good book. It's by T.J. Clemente, and it is available on
Amazon.com. If you go on Amazon.com, I believe you can read the first 20 pages for free there. And
okay.
So why not, you know?
And,
so
of course, you do have a website
tonight?
Also, correct?
Yeah,
and your website is?
WhistlingPastTheHottieGraveyard.com.
Okay,
very
great.
Simple. Whistling Past the Hottie Graveyard. T.J. Clemente. But let's all these people listening did not call in to hear about my novel.
Well, I think they did because we're going to give them also sort of the male viewpoint today because usually we have Nicole who helps sort of balance me. She's sort of, you know, my alter ego. And I think tonight will be nice to have a male viewpoint on some of the things. And if I'm not mistaken, the first caller that I'm going to pick up, because we haven't screened any of these, is one of my regular clients who I think I'm going to be going to a psychic party soon for. Her name is Diane. So let me see if I'm correct on this one. Hi, it's Cindy. You're on the air.
Cindy?
Yes.
Hi, Diane. You are correct. Hi. How are you?
Good. And I know you've been trying to get through for a little bit.
Yeah, my life has been like a little crazy, and I want to say hello to your husband as well. Hello.
Hello, Diane.
And welcome. Yes, I've been trying to catch up with you actually since September, and it's just been one thing after another. My mother fell, and she had a stroke a few years ago, and she's been forgetting lately, and she kind of fell out of bed, so she was pretty bruised badly. But she's okay, thank God. Her head, you know, she was very lucky, let's put it that way.
Oh,
so
boy.
She's okay now, but had a lot of things going on since I spoke to you last, and yes, looking forward to that psychic party. But everything you said pretty came out good. I was waiting on some money coming to me and had been struggling for a while, and it came. I redid my condo, the living room anyway. It looks beautiful, and bought a new car, and things are going better. I'm going back to school in January, but I wanted to call you today because you did say September I would meet someone, and I've just, in that area, I've just been so unlucky. You know, I've been divorced many years.
Okay.
You know,
so
I always keep, I laugh, I tell my sister I'm more single than divorced because, you know, I married very young and it was very dysfunctional and then I guess was afraid to get married again, you know. So I really have been, I say single for 25 years. So I'll be 50 next year, a young 50. And, you know, I did meet someone, but, you know, my intuition is always so good and really liked him, but he had like a hidden agenda, I think, and I just kind of cut him off, and I was really unhappy with myself because I really don't want to be sexual with anyone until I'm sure, you know. I mean, those days are over for me, and just want to meet a really nice guy, and I tried this internet dating thing, and I'm trying to be more open-minded and not as stubborn as I am, and I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be working.
Okay, again, your fear is when people have a fear of love, that block keeps the universe
I have so much love. Like, actually, I just gave my sister a belated birthday party this Sunday. I'm, like, recuperating from it. I cooked a lot of good food, and I saw my nephews. We had, like, a wonderful time, and my mother was so happy. So it was a beautiful day, and I look forward to more beautiful days like that while my mother's still alive. But I am missing that. And I met this gentleman, his name is Angelo, and I really liked him as a person. And, you know, I like to be friends first, but I want someone, it's really hard because, you know, to meet someone that's as spiritual as I am too, and I try not to judge, and, you know, and I just felt like a physical attraction, and that was it, you know.
Okay,
and
it wasn't that heart, soul, mind, you know, thing? You didn't talk to him and communicate? It wasn't the
He has, like, a hidden agenda, and I just don't even want to get into it, I think. That's what it is. It's,
Okay, so you trusted your gut, which is good. So you didn't wait around till you
I don't think he's good for me. I, you know. And I find that a lot of negative people always are attracted to me. You know, I'm like a healer, so I feel, you know, through my life. And not that I'm not there to help others, I think. Eventually I will, but I'm looking for someone that doesn't have all that. Is that a bad thing to be looking for someone that's not in trouble? My best friend's an addict.
You look for somebody you don't want to fix any more people.
Right. That's what I told you. I think I met someone that was in a chair, you know, a wheelchair, and he was a nice guy. I just didn't go that route. It was just too much. You were right, you know. So am I wrong to try this dating thing? My sister's sister-in-law is newly divorced, going through a bad time. So I have been supportive to her, very supportive. And I said, you know, let's try and have fun. She needs to get out. She's also nursing a broken heart. But me, you know, I'm not afraid, really, of love. I'm afraid of dysfunctionalness. I think that's what it is. I don't want to...
Okay, and again, now you can trust your judgment a little better and get yourself out there. Now, I'm going to hand this one over to my husband, TJ, since he spent more time in the dating world, dating after the divorce than my divorce than I actually did, so... You know, TJ, do you have any suggestions on how she can find love or things she could open her heart to I mean, what kind of things did you do when you were out there looking for love?
Well, number one, first thing I tried to do, and my mantra was to surround myself with quality people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I'd ever fall in love again. I didn't think that was going to happen. But I just didn't want to be around people. I just wanted a really high quality of people around me, both male and female. And this way, you know, I felt that, you know, my time wouldn't be wasted, and it would be an elevating type of event.
Okay.
The second thing is that, you know the old saying, you never find what you're looking for, you always find something else. Like when you're looking for, at least this is how it goes with me, I'll be looking for a pair of scissors, and I'll find the buttons that I was looking for 2 weeks ago. You know, I won't find the scissors or something like that. So, and then the other thing is that as far as dating services go, I always felt that, you know, like seeing somebody and experiencing them live first was a lot better than doing it backwards. I think, you know, dating through dating services is doing everything backwards.
Right. Well, I just tried this recently because I've never been like that. Like, I have a decent person. I never had a problem meeting anybody, but I had been through a lot in the past 7 years. So I said, my sister is actually the one that suggested it. She's like, you know, I say, well, if I'm alone the rest of my life, so be it. I kind of like myself. I'm okay. But, yeah, I'm lonely. So I do want to meet. I don't think, you know, I'm not like one of these women that think all men are idiots because my ex-husband was abusive. You know?
Yeah.
It's just, it seems like the ones I do meet, I'm helping in some way, taking care of them, dysfunctional. And it's like, what am I putting out? Am I putting out that I can help you? I'm a strong woman, so I find that, you know, weak men that need help will be attracted to me. So I want someone as strong as me, even stronger.
Well, you're not shy, that's for sure. I mean, you know, you're very assertive. You're not shy. And
right. No, I'm definitely not. I'm totally to the point,
sort of, you know,
I hate wasting time. I think life is way too short.
Men. They don't pick you, I guess, is what you're basically
right.
I mean,
and if they like me in a physical way, it's like mentally, like if you can't keep up with me, then I have a problem with that. You know, it's like I'm not going to be.
There's nothing more stimulating than mental.
Right.
Mental
I like mental
connection.
Stimulation more. I'm attracted to men that are more intelligent. Yeah.
Well, one last thing, and I'll let Cindy, the expert, really go to this. Is that I used to think that the brain sends out radio signals that, you know, we don't really comprehend because we're really all electronic. You know, that's how our nervous system and stuff works. And I think when you connect with someone, you kind of almost like radio signals from one brain that you're on the same frequency and that the conversation flows easily, time flies, and you basically have an uplifting feeling when you're with them. And I think, like I said, if you can find people and put them in your life who are like that, I think everything else will flow to the positive energy. You know, when you're in your good mood, everything seems to happen. You know, a sunny day. You know, people go to the beach on a sunny day.
Right.
They don't go to the beach on a rainy day.
No,
so
of course
not. So if you're
not.
A sunny day, things are going to show up at your beach.
I try to put it out there. And I think the thing is, too, I hate to say no to people. I think not that I have a problem with no, but I feel bad, you know, sometimes. And I'll say, well, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I'll say, you know, I find that, no, I'm not a model, but I'm cute, you know, and I'm smart, I'm talented. I feel, you know, the universe, if you give that out, you'll get it back. But I just, you know, been on a dry spell for maybe 15 years area.
But, you know, I think, you know, you have a vision of what you're looking for.
Right.
I think you should give the something else a shot.
Okay. Oh, no, I don't. I'm not the type that says he's not my type. I used to be.
And Angelo means angel, doesn't it?
Yes, and that's I love angels. So
you got,
so I thought
you
he
got
was
an angel. Think about it. Anyway, Cindy.
But it was
I'm
not Angelo. Not the angel.
He's not the angel. We're looking
there
for.
There are dark angels. He's the dark angel.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Yes, but for you, your friend.
Is that what you feel, Cindy?
Yeah, I didn't. I just felt like, you know, he's not a bad man or anything. It's
oh, he's not? Because I said, oh, my God, what did I let into my house?
No, he's not a bad man. He's just
because
he's
I have
a
lot of, you know, I was like, oh, should I go to church? Should I go to my Wiccan friend and get some some sage?
No, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. You just have to, you know, move on from him. But now that you have a friend who's getting a divorce, maybe the two of you can come up with some ideas where you can go to meet people. Meeting some friends, though. It could be a meet-up, a spiritual meet-up, different courses that you could sign up for.
Yeah, this is what I...
activities.
Yeah.
And this way, maybe meeting some new friends is the better route for you. And I'm not saying give up on the online thing, because it does tell the universe you're really serious about
Right, and I'm really honest on there, what I'm looking for. Is that bad? Do you think that's bad?
No,
that
being
I'm...
really honest and understand that the first 400 men or so that come out of there are going to be the sex addicts and the ones who are going to scope the new girl on the block. So don't let that scare you off. Just like say, okay, I got to filter through these. And then there are good people on the site, just as you are. But if your gut tells you something's not kosher with the person, don't even waste a minute on the phone. Just, you know, get off. You don't have to be nice. Talk to them, hear their sob stories or whatever. You know, move on and, you know, just trust your gut on that. But, again, sometimes we have to examine the blocks that are keeping you from having love. Perhaps it's that you don't want to get in something you can't get out of. Whatever block might still be there, you might want to examine, because the fear is if you have your own commitment issues, sometimes the universe will bring commitment phobes. So, you know, this is your year. You really want love. Of course, you want a higher love, and put that
exactly.
out there. Right
exactly.
Exactly.
Definitely
ideal.
Higher love. Real quick, Christian, before I go.
Sure.
This is a gentleman I used to talk to on and off. We never got together. He was too busy with work. His name is Phil. Seems like a very nice person. He kind of canceled with me twice, and
because he's a commitment phobic now.
You're
going to rule out any man who cancels with you twice. If he can't even commit to a cup of coffee or a dinner, how's he going to commit to a relationship? So that's I'm glad you brought that up. It's a number one sign you're dealing with commitment phobia. And if somebody
reaching out to me. Like, why do you keep – leave me alone then.
Well, because
why do you keep – oh, my God, you look – pretty. I'm so sorry I messed up. You probably met someone already. I'm just like, no,
that's
I haven't.
Commitment phobics are hoping. They're afraid of love, but if he leaves you out in the open market long enough, you'll find somebody else and he's off the hook. He didn't mess it up.
That's what I thought. If the universe is not meant to be, it's not meant to be. This guy keeps canceling. That's insane.
Right, and you want a man who, when you tell him, like when I met TJ in the first night, and he said, "Can I come visit you?" And he had to call all the way from Montauk to Patchogue, and I said, "Only 2 hours on Tuesday." He drove all the way there on that Tuesday.
And wonderful.
He was on time. You want a man who's maybe waiting down the block for 4 hours to make sure he's
not late. TJ have a brother? No, I'm just kidding.
I do have three. They're all married.
You guys are a lovely couple. Yes.
I do want to add one thing to this.
Yes.
I was in a musical in East Hampton, Anything Goes, had one of the bigger parts.
Oh, wow. And
we had practice every night, and this woman, Judy McDowell, said she wanted me to meet her 93-year-old mother, and I said, "I'm sorry, you know, I have play practice every night." Well, she goes, "Well, she's going to be out here on Thursday, I think, Tuesday or Thursday." And so I went to play practice, and when I got there, it had been canceled. Because the director's mother was sick, or he had to pick her up, and he couldn't do the directing, and otherwise it'd be a farce. So there I was at the theater with nowhere to go. So I said, "Well, I might as well go see Judy Lynn's mother." So I got I got in the car, went down the road into Sag Harbor, and went into this place I'd never been before. It was called Ziggy's then; it's some other name now. And I went in, and Judy was at the door, and she said, "Oh, my mother is back over there in the corner." So I just went right to the back of the corner to say hello to her mother. And who was talking to her mother but Cindy?
Wow. See, so you were meant to be.
And that's why we did.
I think it's an interesting, how do you meet people?
Wow,
you know,
that's a great story.
Sometimes, you know, other things bring it together.
That's right.
I did not go there
sense.
Looking to find my forever, you know. I mean, it was the furthest thing from my mind.
Well,
so,
thank you so much. I mean,
thank you for
you really
in.
Lifted my spirits tonight, if anything, because
good.
I was feeling kind of down.
No, we
so.
Don't want you feeling down because you're the most upbeat, loving, wonderful, terrific woman in the universe. So, again, put those
thank
energies
you so much.
Out there.
Yeah, I'm feeling really
be
down.
Sunny,
I said, I have to call Cindy. I have to call
beach.
Cindy. I specifically came home early today to get you.
Be the
oh,
sunny
great.
Day at the beach.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay,
I'm hopefully
you
I'll see
in.
You Saturday. I'm trying to venture out to Smithtown.
Okay, because the Witch Festival. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yes,
October
25th. I definitely want to go. I missed it last year. So
about 10 o'clock, and at 12 o'clock I'm doing a lecture. It's the one in the, we used to be the Sheraton.
Are you in Patchogue or Smithtown?
It's in Smithtown.
Okay.
It's going to be in Smithtown.
Yeah, I went online and checked it. Okay. Well, wonderful.
Please come if you can.
Yes, I want to. Yeah, I'm trying to make a point of getting there. Okay, very good. Thank you so much. Oh, and
you're welcome,
TJ, for your words of wisdom. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Ciao.
Okay, thank you.
This male viewpoint now.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
I'm not able to screen things, so I'm just going to pick this caller up, a 516-637 number. If you didn't want to speak, just don't speak, but I'm hoping you did. This is Cindy, and you're going to be live on the air. Hello?
Cindy. Hi, TJ.
Hi, and who's this?
My name is Denise.
Hi, Denise.
Hello, Denise.
So thank you for calling in. I didn't know if
you
wanted to talk because I don't have Nicole here doing the screenings, and so I was just hoping that you did want to speak to us. And do you have something on your mind you'd like to share with us?
I do. I've been alone a very long time. My husband passed away, and I'm tired of being alone. And I'm getting to you tonight for a reason. I was sick yesterday. My cat scratched me. Believe this or not, okay. The initial J on my chest over my heart, and my husband's name was John. And yesterday was our anniversary.
Oh, my goodness. Now, of course, you know, only John could make the cat scratch you with a J. And
stupid.
And no, it doesn't. It actually sounds very, very much what what the spirits would do. Of course, he's very touched, and I've spoken to your husband on other occasions from the other side. And, of course, he's always filled with love for you. He always has his apologies, wishing that he could have done some things better. And what he wants for you is that he has a soulmate pick for you, by the way. And you need to just open your heart to allowing it in. He's, of course, not going to take John's place. Nobody's going to take John's place. But this is a man who is very loving and supportive of you. But, you know, you can't be alone forever anymore. You have a lot of love to give. Are you aware of that?
I'm hoping. I mean, I hear you and TJ, and I've met TJ, and, you know, it's just amazing. And now that I heard his story, it, like, just touches me. You know, it just... You know.
And that's exactly it. And you have to believe that it's when you go somewhere. And I'll tell you, my version of that night was I was really tired, and it was, and I had to go all the way to East Hampton from Patchogue, and I just said, I'm just going to stay home. I'm so tired. And I heard my spirit guides the day before saying to me, why don't you write down what your ideal soulmate would be like? So I wrote down, let him be Italian, let him be a writer, let him be old-fashioned, want to stick 2 feet in the relationship, whatever. So then I hear this, you know, my spirit guide saying to me, Cindy, if you had to go to work, you'd get dressed. Please put on your makeup, put on a pretty dress, and go. So I went, not on my own speed, because I really was too tired. So I went there, and I'm talking to Judy's mother, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, what a rip-roaring fun girl I am. I'm out at a party. I'm talking to the 93-year-old mother. And, you know, I didn't even know why I went there. And then Michael introduces me to TJ and says he's a writer. And pretty fast I find out he's Italian, and all these things I'm going, oh, okay, ding, ding, ding. So you might need to write down what your ideal soulmate would be like. Have you done that yet?
I have not. I keep asking my guides, just let me bump into somebody. Let me, you know, not
okay, they can't bump into somebody. You have to be specific. You're going to write the traits that you loved about your husband. You know, his loyalness, or his, you know, the way he touched you, the way he looked at you, your conversations, whatever the things about him that you liked, you wanted this man. But there were some things he could have done better, like all living human beings. And in a positive note, write down some things that maybe he didn't do that you would want in a man. And be as specific as you can, because if I hadn't just done that exercise the day before I met TJ, I don't think my radar would have been quite as strong.
May I?
He was a writer, and he's Italian, and he's definitely the old-fashioned stick 2 feet in a relationship kind of guy with me. So a lot of the things that I asked for within our conversation that night, 2 or 3 hours, he was saying so many of the things that I'd written on the list, it was almost scary.
May
so,
I say something?
Sure, of course.
I did not go there, you know, looking for, you know, like, I think, you know, the number one thing you have to solve is the fact that you feel lonely. I think what you have to figure out is a way for you to really enjoy your own company when you are alone, and then go make that as your platform to move forward. Because I did not go there that night because I was lonely. I went there to see a friend's mother. But and the last thing on earth I thought I would want would be, and I was living in Montauk. The last thing you want is to have a significant other who's, you know, is living in Patchogue. I mean, that's like 50, 60 miles. And but the truth of the matter is that, like I say, when you're looking for, you know, you always find something other than what you're looking for. And I think you shouldn't be looking for something to end the loneliness. I think you should conquer that first, and then something will find you. That makes sense.
Right, and conquering the loneliness may be making some new friends. Is your world small now because you work and your commitments, and do you not have any time for developing some new friends or anything?
I don't have a lot of time. I don't think I have a lot of time.
Because you work a lot. No, you work a lot. I know that you do. But you might want to put a little time into making, you know, friendships and love manifest. We have to make some space for it, too. As ironic as that may sound, it's even just clearing a drawer so that when someone comes, you have a drawer ready for them. It's making some space physically, emotionally, and that means allowing some time that love is important and friendships are important and getting yourself out there. I mean, people who have lost someone through death have bigger fears of love than other people. I mean, divorce is one thing. Losing your, you know, your husband to death is a scary thing. So you might have to overcome a few of your fears. And one of them could just, you don't want to love somebody who could die on you again. I mean, that's a terrifying fear for people. But, you know, and what's our choice? To be alone the rest of our life? I mean, life is a lot of choices. All of them have their negatives and all of them have their positive. But your husband seems to be very adamant that he has someone for you, but he can't airdrop this man into your house. You have to sort of figure out, how am I going to find this time and space to make the love manifest? And for your children's sake, they really need to see we have more than one soulmate. If you lose the love of your life, you get another shot at it. And, you know, you could, you know, you're a young woman. You could be around for a long, long time. And I'm glad that you're getting lonely. People that don't get lonely, people that get really happy and not happy, but just sort of, you know, okay, this is the way it is, resolved that they're going to be alone, don't get out there and find somebody. That feeling that you're lonely, that you want something, that you're missing, may not be coming from you. It could be coming from thoughts your husband's putting in your head. Don't get so comfortable by yourself.
Right.
You know,
right.
And know that this is your year for it. Of course, he's laughing because he knows that, you know, it's very easy for spirits to make cats do weird things. That's why I don't like cats in the room when I'm doing readings, because cats are very sensitive, and they'll just go to scratch at me thinking, you know, seeing something in front of me, and I end up getting a scratch. So I'm like,
he just freaked out. I was petting him, and he just freaked out, and he scratched me. And now, I mean, this is only 2 days ago, and I have a J right over my heart.
And it's because your husband must have obviously been lying with his head on your chest, and, of course, the cat must have seen it. So know that cats are very sensitive to spirit. And, you know, this is, you know, some messages from your husband. He's saying at the end of his life, the thing he felt made him happiest was that he had his family and love. He doesn't regret loving. And, you know, the dead tend to always say they wish they loved better. He said he could have loved you better. You want to be a person who, when you go to your grave, you feel like, I loved the best I could. I took advantage of the love that was around or that was being offered. So it's really just opening your heart to it. And I'm glad that you called in tonight because it really, your husband really did want to talk to you, by the way. So you are hearing him. Call Cindy. Speak to Cindy. So, you know, you probably don't even know why sometimes you're so compelled to call in. But
right.
Have a little courage. It does take courage to fall in love. I'll tell you that much. You got to risk something. We have to stop being afraid we're going to get hurt. And again, the one thing I think that I probably did right from the beginning with TJ was tell him, I don't sleep with people who are sleeping with other people. If you want to be with me, be with only me, stick 2 feet in here and let's see what's here. And he said, okay, 2 feet in. I didn't give him wiggle room to run.
I said, why not?
Why not?
Why not? That's exactly how I am. Put both feet in.
And that's what you need to tell people. So when you go on a date, you know, let them know from the beginning. You're not going to have somebody who's going to call you and not call you and break your heart. But, you know, I'm not sure if a dating service is right for you. Of course, you could try that. I always say try to go to the more upscale sites because they do screen a little bit better. You could try that. You know, some people do meet that way. I do prefer people to be able to go out there and meet somebody face-to-face, but if you don't have the time for that, but again, make a little time. If someone invites you somewhere, go somewhere. Please call in and let us know how you're doing, but John is laughing. He has a very funny laugh. I mean, I think when he was, you know, on Earth, you must have had some good laughs with him.
Yeah.
Because he has a very good sense of humor. He, you know, he's one of the ones making the joke. He can't believe he's on the radio, which always makes me laugh. Of course, he's on the radio. And he will give you other signs. He says, I'll try not to have the cat scratch you. But the cat was, he said, I didn't make the cat scratch you. The cat was going to scratch you. I just made it make a J, you know.
I believe it.
He said, you know, it was already, you were already being scratched. So what could I do? I made the best out of a bad situation.
Oh, boy. That sounds like him. It really does. Cindy,
so
I want to thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, and thank you for sharing your story with us, and keep on listening.
All right. Good night, TJ. Good night, Cindy.
Good night.
Bye. Okay, so let me see here. We have a 111, which is a computer, and I'm always a little hesitant to pick these up without screening, but we can always hang up if it's a crank caller, which we get from time to time. Hi, it's Cindy. You're live on the air. Hello? Okay, I guess maybe they don't want to talk. Maybe they were a crank caller. Who knows? Okay, let's try the next caller. I'm going to go down to a 917 number. Okay, here we go. It's 917-658. Hi, it's Cindy. You're live on the air.
Oh, hi. It's Julie.
Hi.
How you doing?
Julie, how are you? So tell me what's happening in your world.
Well, I'm still having a lot of healing to take place over the whole, you know, ex situation at the house.
Okay, can you just fill in our listeners a little bit with the ex?
I mean, he was somebody that was really kind of out of my life, but I had him come back in and live in my house, and then he stopped paying rent, and it was really... He just really betrayed me, our agreement, and my heart really broke that I know that the blinders came off and I could really see who this person was at the same time. Right. It was like a reckoning. I didn't really think that he would do that to me.
Right.
Know?
Now, I like that. Let's go back and let's go back. He wouldn't do that to me. Now, I always tell my clients, older souls are very good people, but we have our own form of narcissism to think that if Hitler isn't going to put us in an oven, why would he do that to me? And when we're dealing with very manipulative people who hurt other people, who've stabbed other people, we've observed them hurting, we should never be surprised when they do it to us. We're not immune to these people. They will do things to us as well. And it's a little bit understanding it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with him. And, of course, it hurts because you would have never done these things to him or hurt him that way. But the universe wanted you to see this. And sometimes we have to get one more smearing our face in crap to realize, oh, boy. And, you know, you took him back.
Yeah.
The universe wanted you to see clearly who he was.
Okay.
And I know you're probably mourning for the end of the relationship. There's a lot of anxiety in your cards. Are you experiencing anxiety?
Yeah.
Whole lot in these
cards. Because there's
right
still
now
a lot of anger. You know, there's this self-talk, and there's some anger about, you know, the betrayal, and you know, feeling like I was really duped, and I'm just trying to reckon with that inside of myself.
Okay, so you're not even mad at him, because why not dupe you, rob you, and hurt you? Why not get away with it? You're mad at yourself that you let him in to hurt you again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, welcome to the world of good people. They're forgiving. They're loyal. They don't learn the lesson once. They have to learn it like the hard way. And
yep,
maybe the lesson here is to forgive yourself, and
yes,
that he taught you something. And the something is, we have to understand, if people are people who hurt others, it's only a matter of time before they could hurt us. You know, sometimes they never do. I've had people that I know have hurt other people a really lot, and they've never hurt me, so I maintain them in my life. But I did know who they were, and they knew I knew it too. So I think if people know we have their number, they're less likely to do it to us. But,
right,
you know, at this point, it's choosing to forgive yourself, knowing that he's a great teacher of yours, because even if it's not in love that we get hurt, if we're that naive in business, we're going to get ripped off and hurt by people in business. So once the blinders are really off about people, you know, the world's a little bit easier place. So know that he was a good teacher of you. Don't beat yourself up too much about it. I know we had read about, you had a reading about him, I think, before he came back, am I remembering correctly?
Mm-hmm.
And you were sort of warned. You were sort of warned he wasn't going to change. He was manipulative. He was judgmental. And maybe that reading helped you see things faster than you would have.
Yeah.
But you needed to see it for yourself. I can't live your life. I can't make you see things. I can open your eyes and take the blinders off a little bit. But you had to walk through it yourself. And that's how humans learn. They really do have to learn for themselves, unfortunately. And just know that.
And I think in hindsight I learned. I mean, I think what I'm reckoning with now is, and this is, you know, I'm sure what everybody, you know, all the viewers can probably, listeners, you know, you just start having these images. You know, when the blinders were on, there were things going on that I couldn't see. Now they're off. And now I'm like, it's like a parade of stuff that I can really see that happened in the past. And
yes,
I'm trying
the red
to take
flags
those images
there
and say, wow, you know what? He said this, or that was kind of a red flag. Yeah, and it's trying not to get stuck staring at the past. And sort
but
of
you
saying,
need to,
oh,
though.
Wow.
But I will tell you, don't feel bad that you're looking back, because that's how we learn. If we put a slab over it and say, well, it was just him, and well, you're not going to have learned the lessons. What we're supposed to learn is look back, see the red flags that you ignored or didn't think were much, so that the next time when someone comes into our life, we pay attention to the red flags. We notate them. We listen to our gut. And that's why looking back is an important part of learning, healing. And then, you know, once you've looked back and you've sort of said, okay, there were 40 flags I could have seen. Now I need to forgive myself for not seeing it, learn the lessons that I'm supposed to learn, and truly, you know, be ready for the next relationship that will come. And if you didn't learn these so clearly, unfortunately, the next man would be very similar.
Yeah.
So until we learn the lessons, the universe just keeps bringing the same person. You know, they seem different. So the lessons that you've learned are life lessons. We all have to learn them. But the good news in here is a nice man in the future, nice 5-year period opening up, and you trusting your gut much more. So there's nothing bad in your cards, you know, other than the anxiety. Anxiety is a dark angel, and they won't let off of you until you admit that, okay, I got the lesson. The lesson isn't there's one bad person in the universe. The lesson is there's a lot of people like this, and I need to know that and keep my eyes open so that I don't get hurt. And that's a very significant lesson. I don't know if TJ has anything to add to this about, you know, your viewpoints on when we don't see red flags or we don't realize.
Yeah, don't beat yourself up so much. You know, move on. Turn the page.
Mm-hmm.
Look forward. You can't go back. The milk's spilled. Under the bridge, going down the river. It's in the. You know what? Move forward and don't be You know that song by U2, Stuck in the Moment, I Can't Get Out of It? Can't live with that song just playing in your, you know, over and over again. I think you just have to, like, say, okay, let's move on. Let's get what's next. Remember in sales, have you ever been in sales?
In sales?
They trained you. They said,
Thank God,
something like this happens, all you know.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You just say,
well,
next.
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny thing that you bring that up because I have a house. The house where this whole thing played out is now I'm, you know, trying to let go of it. And I was just wondering, Cindy, if you guys see anything there. It's just, it's probably going to be a short sale. It's just sort of the, it was a culmination of a couple of relationships up there. I don't live there. It's like a second house. That really didn't work out for me. I mean, a lot of things I learned up there. I live in the city and this place is upstate. So, but it's going to, I'm hoping that it's really going to move because I feel like it's been this real financial burden as well as this thing that a lot of memories there, you know, stuff that didn't really work out relationship-wise.
So it's a little bit haunted. So we want to get rid of the haunted house and move on. I do see the house selling. I mean, it's you've got it priced probably correctly. It'll move relatively quickly. And again, don't even look at the financial. Was it a bad disaster financially? Was it this? Was it that? You know, it just again, as you're closing the chapter on the lessons you've learned from that man and perhaps a few others, the financial lesson here, the whole bit, close the whole chapter, you know, take your money and run and, you know, don't even think about, you know, could have, would have, should have at this point because, look, most people end up having hard financial lessons in life and we have to learn things. And as long as we learn from it, it's good. And the house will move, and that will close this whole chapter up, too. So I'm glad you want to, like, sell the house because it looks like it's served its purpose. I don't think, you know, you even want to be up there too much anymore.
No. No, I don't.
No.
It's
and find
it. The crime and then trying to just also heal and let go, you know. It really is. And it's amazing.
And, again, when we're clear what we want, if you're really clear you want to let this house go, the universe will make it move for you almost instantly. It's when we have mixed messages, the universe sort of doesn't move things along fast enough. You know, mixed messages just slug every. Anytime I know what I want, when I really finally wanted a divorce from my ex-husband, it was 4 months and it was over. But it was 29 years in the making. So it's like when you know, when you're clear, the universe opens all the floodgates and says, move on from here. So, again, and, you know, just bless the relationship, let it go, bless the house, let it go, and, you know, and see what the universe is going to bring your way. And I'm glad you shared, you know, your story with us because I think so many of my listeners are really, really good people, and they don't know why they're always getting hurt and why they don't see these things. Well, because we have blinders on. And my mission to the day I die is to tell people, get those blinders off. See the good and the bad and the ugly of people. Doesn't make you jaded. Doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you not get hurt from people. And that's what I, you know, since my blinders have been off, my life has been amazingly wonderful. And even when I got involved with TJ, you know, it happened so quickly. We were like in love from the moment. And I said to the universe, is this good? And I heard my spirit guide says, does it feel good? And I go, yeah. And they go, this is good. And and my gut told me he was good. And I was right. And so we need to follow our gut. When things are right, they happen quickly. When things are wrong, this, you know, dysfunction is complicated. Love is very simple. Yeah. So anybody that tells me, well, it's complicated, I go, it's not love. Don't even talk to me about it. It's not love. It's dysfunction. Because love is a diamond that we embrace and that we're blessed to have. It's a gift, and we open it willingly and hold on to it and cherish it and maintain it. So that's something, you know, to keep in mind that you've learned some lessons and you just have beautiful things in your future. So, you know, thank you for sharing your story with us. And I always love when you call in and I love when you email me from time to time, too. And any of my listeners know I answer every email. So if you email me, I'll certainly answer you.
And now I downloaded your book, so I'll plug that. And I'm very excited about
you know,
reading it.
I would love if you, as you're reading it, if you call in and maybe some insights are coming to you from the book or things that
okay.
you said, I wish I knew this, you know, 20 years ago, because what I did was put all the angst and hard lessons that I learned over, you know, my lifetime into that book, trying to speed people's processes up so that they don't spend 29 years where they don't want to be.
Yeah.
And so that they, you know, learn these lessons sooner than later. So, you know, thank you. And the book is Grant Me a Higher Love, for those people that
thank
don't know what
you.
Book you're referring to. Well, good luck
yeah.
to you. Thank you for sharing
lovely.
Your story.
Thank you so much. It's lovely
okay,
to
bye.
Hear you both. Okay, take care.
Happy
Bye-bye.
Halloween. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Okay, now, TJ, don't we have the best listeners? They have
very
such good
so.
Energy. It's incredible. Okay, I'm moving down the list here. It's a 631-827 number. You will be live on the air. Hi, it's Cindy, and you're live on the air.
Hi. Hi, Cindy.
Hi,
can
this
you hear
is,
me?
Sure. And who is this?
My name is Connie.
Hi, Connie. So where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Long Island, Smithtown.
Okay, so you're local. Good. And you can certainly share what's on your heart and mind because you've been waiting a long time, so I'm sure there's something you need to hear and share with us.
Well, I just was wondering, I've never done this before, so I have no idea what you...
I'll be gentle.
I know, I just don't know I don't even know what your process is. Do you just, you know, ask me questions, or am I supposed to, or you have a cards for my future? I don't even know. I've never listened to
well,
your show.
Okay, so let's just, okay, good. So I'm glad you're a first-time listener. Now, what I've done is pulled some cards for you. I would just need your birth date. You don't have to give the year if you don't want to, but I really do need the month and the day.
No, it's okay. It's October 18th, 1954.
Okay, thank you for sharing it all. It makes the reading open up. Now, you just had a birthday, so you couldn't have called
yeah.
in for a reading at a better time, because the real best time for a reading is on your birthday, because from October 18th to the next October 18th is your real new year, not January. So our new
okay.
year go from one birthday to the next. And right before our birthdays, our spirit guides and those who have crossed over help with our life review. We get like a real pretty big life review right around our birthday time. If we're really on a bad path, they may review us every day. But for most of us, we get tweaked a little bit during the year, just as if you got one physical a year and then maybe during the year you went to the doctor for a cold or this or that. You sort of get some checkups or some reviews periodically during the year, but you actually have a very good birthday year ahead of you. The card I got was the Ace of Cups, and aces always come up near birthdays, so it should be a very love-filled, good year for you. You're getting a lot of divine guidance. I'm not sure if you're hearing it. Do you feel you're getting guidance? You must have it to listen to the show tonight, by the way. Are you feeling guidance coming?
Not really, but
okay.
I'll take it if it's coming.
Okay. Sometimes guidance doesn't sound like Sunday school. You know, Sunday school would tell you to turn the other cheek. Divine guidance might say, sue the bastard, walk away. It sounds a little different than Sunday school, but you are getting guidance. You have a grandmother who passed away a very long time ago. Do you remember her?
Very little.
Okay, because you were pretty little when she died, by the way.
Yes, yes.
But she remembers you. She said when you were young that, you know, Connie had a lot of courage. She could use some courage now. You know, you're a little bit going into some fear mode, which can influence what the year would bring to you. But there's a lot of good things going to come your way. Try not to worry too much about money. It looks like a little bit too much money worry here.
Okay.
Do you find yourself worrying about money?
I guess just like everybody else does. I don't put an importance on it at, you know, at this time in my life.
Good, because you'll have enough. You have enough money. And things will be okay that way. In terms of from above, your mom has passed away, by the way?
Yes.
Because she's the loving mother figure right now watching over you. She's wishing you a happy birthday, by the way. but she would want to be here if she could help you. She doesn't particularly miss life anymore. Has she been gone a long time? Because she doesn't miss life.
She's been gone 13 years.
Okay, about the 10-year mark, they start accepting where they are. She's asking you to forgive her for a few things. Do you know what she's talking about? You don't have to share them with us, but she's saying she's sorry.
Okay, I understand.
And that you were a very good daughter, always a good daughter. You knew right from wrong.
Okay.
You were a good daughter. And she tries to give you messages, so you might want to just sort of open your heart to hear her a little bit.
Okay.
And know that she's nearby. You have a husband or had a husband?
Yes.
Okay. Which one is it?
I had a husband.
Okay. Your mom knew him well?
Yes.
Okay, because she's not loving him right now. So do you know what that means?
No.
She says, I'm not loving him right at the moment. So your husband has passed away?
Yes.
Okay, because funny enough, she visits with him, by the way, and they visit with each other. And your husband is sorry about a lot of stuff. Do you know why he would say that too?
No, not at all.
Okay, he was a good husband?
Yep.
Okay. Now, did he promise you, you know, forever?
Did he promise me what?
Forever. To be with you forever?
Yeah.
Because he's still with you forever. You just have to hear him, and he's sorry that you don't hear him. And your mother's mad at him for, you know, she would have been resting a hell of a lot more in peace if you had a husband with you on earth. But know that your husband always gives you signs. Do you get them from him at all?
I don't see them. I don't hear them. I don't. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't know. I really don't.
Are you mad at him
for
leaving you still?
Am I mad at him for leaving me?
Yes.
No, I'm not mad at him, no.
Okay, because he would be here if he could, but he didn't want to be here having people take care of him forever. That's not your husband. He's the kind of man who would have to be vital and take care of you. And, you know, he's crying a lot. Usually they don't cry unless they're dead less than 5 years. How long has your husband been gone?
It's 2 years today.
Okay, that explains the crying. And it also explains why your mother says she's not loving him right now. I swear she's so mad at him for dying, it's not funny. I mean, she was resting nicely in peace when you had him by you. And know that, of course, his mom's gone too, correct? Your husband's mother?
No, she's still here.
Because there's a woman near him that's not your mom. Could have been his mother's mother. Did you, you know, his grandma? But I don't know if he ever talked to you about his grandmother.
Yeah, well, you know, we knew her, yes.
Right, because he's with her. Of course, he's worrying about his mom, too. So just know that if he could be with you, he would be. And he wanted you to call now so he could wish you a happy birthday as well. And know that he tries to give you signs. Sometimes it's through music. You have to pay a little more attention. Sometimes it's a song that plays that he liked. He is a good person, so he's allowed down on earth about 100 hours a month. So don't be surprised that he comes down to watch television with you. He'll just sit there when you're watching one of the shows that he liked.
Okay.
You do have to pay attention. Who's Joseph, by the way?
That's my son. That's one of my sons.
He's crying. He misses Joseph so much, it's not funny. And Joseph misses him a great deal as well. And he's saying, I'm a good father from above. I watch over everybody. Is he a grandfather?
No.
Yeah, because he's looking forward to being a grandfather. from above. He goes, I'd like that. I'd like to be there. But tell Joseph that he hears what he says and that, you know, your son is a good boy. And he was a good son. And there's some dogs up there. Who lost the dogs?
Well, we have three of them up there with him. We have two that were actually bought for him, and then one that was mine.
Okay, because he's got his two dogs up there. He says, I got my two, and, of course, your dog is here as well. And know that he said you were a very good wife and a very good mother, by the way.
Thank you.
And that makes him so incredibly happy. He left you a little bit of money, by the way, like, because he seems to think he still helps you from the grave somehow, financially. Does he help you?
Well, I mean, I work, and he had a business, and, you know, so we still have the business that we keep going. You know, it was his dream, and we just keep it going.
And he says you keep it going very well, and that makes him very happy. He calls you the Queen of Pentacles. That's, he showed me a card. That means you're very good at business. You were the most loving and supportive wife. You believed in his dreams. And you helped him, you know, at the end of his life, he felt like he accomplished everything he wanted because of you and because of the children. Of course, he misses them immensely. And you know they miss him, too. And that's something. You've gotten rid of most of his things now?
No, I haven't gotten rid of anything. Everything is still there.
Well, he's asking you to try to get rid of them now. They're not a shrine because he's not coming back. So he's saying to you, please give some things to the children, give them away. He's a practical man. Give them away. Keep a few things. He has no objection to some of the things, you know, which he wouldn't want you to give away. But start with his clothes. They always make the joke, start with the underwear drawer and move from there. And he just thinks it's time for you to get rid of some of his things, if you could. And maybe the children can help. That's important.
Okay.
You can't do it by yourself. He is the one who made you call in, by the way. And and saying you heard him. If you don't think you heard him, what compelled you to call? What made you call tonight? It's near your birthday. What compelled you tonight of all nights?
I don't know, because I have, you know, I have candles lit. I have him, you know, I'm here with him, and, you know, it's my ritual that I do every night. I come home from work, and I light the candles, and I sit in his robe, and I have on his slippers, and I don't know. Maybe because it was 2 years, I don't know.
Right, because it's close to the anniversary. It's close to the anniversary. It's your birthday, and your husband said, I wanted to say I love you. I wanted to say I love you. And he wants you to believe that death ends a life, not a relationship. That if you open your heart to hear him, you can hear him. He's a pretty clear voice. He's not a hard man to listen to. He's actually a very kind man, by the way. He's very kind. He's thanking me very much for delivering the messages and giving you a birthday gift, you know, by saying that he loved you. And he'll give you clearer signs. You just need to pay attention a little more. By the way, and wear out his robe. You know, just wear it out. Wear it till it falls apart.
Yeah, I intend to.
Well, thank you so much. We're just about the end of our show. I would like to thank everybody for calling in. And thank you, Connie, for sharing, you know, your life with us and your love. And we appreciate it very much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Now, TJ, I want you to, you know, anything you would like to add to the show tonight, and thank you. You know, the male viewpoint was very helpful tonight.
Well, you know, for those out in Long Island and elsewhere, they go to your grantmeahigherlove.com website, and they can help vote as psychic on Long Island.
Thank you.
You can hear a versions of other shows when Nicole was in. And... I'm just really glad that I bumped into you that night 5 years ago.
Thank you, and thank you so much for helping with the show. And we will speak next week. And everybody, have a happy Halloween, and we'll be speaking on Halloween. Bye.
Bye.